Hello and welcome to another episode of Search and Deploy. This is your host, Lauren Baker, and on Search and Deploy, a Rainmaker.fm podcast, we discuss news in the world of SEO, SEM, Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo, and kind of really cut through a lot of the noise to determine what's important, what's real, and how to implement those real happenings into your overall digital strategy. With me today, I have a special guest, Dwayne Forrester, the Senior Marketing Manager at Microsoft Bing. I'm going to bring Dwayne on in a moment, but I want to go over some of the topic matter that's going to be discussed today. Earlier in the week, earlier last week, Google rolled out an announcement on the Google Webmaster Central blog, saying that they are going to be unleashing a new algorithmic update targeting doorway pages. Now, personally, I've not heard the word doorway pages for about 10 or 15 years, but Google has made the announcement that this is going to be something they're targeting, and they're making updates to the webmaster guidelines accordingly. They asked a series of questions for webmasters to think about. And the first question is the purpose of the page to optimize for search engines and funnel visitors into the actual visible or relevant portion of the site? Meaning that, is that page living outside of the rest of the site only for search purposes and then bringing the user in to make a transaction? And they asked a lot of other similar questions in terms of, are the pages using duplicate content or aggregating content from the main site itself only to appear in search? And are these pages made solely for drawing affiliate traffic that then sends the user over to a site to make a purchase where the owner of a doorway page makes a commission revenue off of that? So very interesting news to come from the way of Brian White on the Google Webmaster team. And also, this pretty much has SEO scrambling. Not that, you know, setting up SSL on your site was enough, or, you know, getting ready for the April 21st mobile update on the Google side. But now webmasters have something else to worry about. And like I said before, I haven't heard the word doorway pages for almost a decade. So on that note, I'd like to introduce Dwayne Forrester, the Senior Marketing Manager of Microsoft Bing. So welcome to Search and Deploy, Dwayne.
Thank you very much, Lauren. It's a pleasure to spend some time with you guys today.
Yeah, really excited to have you on for our third episode. You know, we made it to number 15 in the iTunes podcast marketing category, right?
Excellent. Well
done. Yeah. So my goal is to get to number 10 and then number one, maybe one day. So
I was going to say, you're setting your goal at number 10. Awesome.
Yeah. Hello.
Come on.
Yeah.
We can all do better than that for you.
Yeah. I'm number 10. We're number 10. So yeah, man, like I was saying, I really can't remember the last time I actually used the word doorway page was when I was optimizing for Alta Vista back in the day. Like, it's just been, it's such a broad and vague term. And I don't want to necessarily get into what's happening on the Google side of things, but I really want to talk with you about doorway pages as a whole. And, you know, what do you feel that they are now? And how did you feel that they were back in the day? And whether this is kind of a broader thing, because it was really interesting. What I just brought up was, you know, we're talking about websites that are utilizing content aggregators, right?
Yep.
From maybe their product pictures, maybe it's multiple blog posts.
Yep.
We're talking about affiliates. We're probably talking about commercial sites as well. So in your professional opinion, given your years in this industry as well, what do you consider a doorway page? And like, more frankly, when was the last time you actually heard this term used?
So I'll do these in reverse order, Lauren. Like you, it's been a long time since I've heard any conversations about doorway pages in a meaningful way. And I don't mean like, you know, I will stop and work with, you know, random large companies will contact me and I'll sit down with them and have conversations. And you still hear them come up every now and then, like, you know, we have some doorway pages we're taking down and we're just focus on optimizing our individual website pages and so on.
We've inherited doorway pages.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's always mysteriously part of a legacy.
Right.
Which, you know, just goes to show you that it's old. The implementation was older. And it came from a time when it was this notion, I think, of, you know, at first we weren't necessarily calling them doorway pages. It was just that landing experience that was customized for very specific things. And then it became a, when we started seeing changes in the paid world, when the quality of the landing page started to count a lot more and the algorithms got smart about it,
right,
started having savvy SEOs look at that and say, well, hang on a second. There's an algorithm that's able to actually look at a landing page in PPC and say, hey, you know what? This meets a quality quotient. Absolutely. Maybe we should start designing individual pages for SEO in the same way, with that very specific focus on one very specific message, optimize the heck out of it, get it ranked, and have it drive people into whatever it is we're trying to do. Convert on a product, sign up for a newsletter, consume pages, advertising, whatever.
So you're more or less talking about a landing page, right? That,
yeah.
That kind of hangs off of the main site architecture on its own little, like its own little dangle thing.
With, exactly. You know? And so that was one of those like early stage, like doorway development type things. And then people start realizing, well, hold on a second. Like, we could actually do a lot of pass-through stuff. So if my page appears to be super relevant for ski bindings, well, then if it's loaded with content from retailers to do with this, well, then it'll rank well, and I will get that affiliate value from it. Yep. Which, you know, at the time, given the state of the algorithms, given the state of searchers at the time and their desires, it wasn't a bad approach per se. As with everything, there were edge cases on both sides where some people could have taken more advantage of it and other people did take more advantage of it. And so I think what's happened is, and you know this, there's an elasticity to the world of online marketing, right? Where the things that are current and fresh today that we're all working on seem to kind of emanate from the United States, for better or worse. And as everyone else, and this is even within the United States, there's a small group of people that are very, very intrinsic to the core of the industry. They are experts. They know exactly what they're doing. They're always on the cutting edge. They are able to guide clients. They are able to attract clients. They are successful with their own websites. Then you have another layer of people that are newer and not quite as well versed in all of the complexities of building a digital business and operating it. And they're still learning. They're still picking up on some of these tricks and tips. Unfortunately, what happens is, when you go out, when I go out, when all of us go out that have all of the gray hair from all the, or any hair in your case, from all of this time on the internet, like we're producing all this content and we're telling people about all these things that work today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up is that I have had updates pop up in my email from blog posts that I wrote 3 years ago, 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
About buying paid links and buying blogs and stuff like that, where people are like, hey, how dare you make this recommendation? Well, like, did you look at the date stamp? You know, I mean, come on, this is, I'm not going to change it because it's archived knowledge, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, you can update it, but not change it.
Yeah, but it still serves a purpose for your business because people find it. It is an entry point. Maybe they disagree with it. They ping you. You have a conversation. I mean, there's still value there, right? Mm-hmm. But I think this is kind of at the crux of all this, where there's a latency that happens with knowledge sharing. And so, you know, I see this when I travel internationally. I go to conferences. You know, I'll sit on stage with folks, and they're talking about things, and I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on a second. Like, we were dealing with that 6 months ago or a year ago, and you're talking about it like it's the fresh new thing. And so there's a latency that happens. I believe it happens globally and it happens vertically within an area as well. Because you've always got some fast movers and early adopters in any given area, and they will have the freshest of information. And then they have to disseminate out and people find those old blog posts that they made and so on. So what ends up happening is you have people that are discovering these concepts of doorway pages. They make complete sense. I mean, rationally speaking, if you're looking to grow a business and your goal is to have a retail-based business and actually drive revenue from affiliate programs or direct sales or whatever it is, the concept of a doorway page fits beautifully with that model. And you're looking at it and saying, well, search will only be a portion of my marketing plan. I will also do email list building. I will also do social media, you know, whatever it is.
If you're setting up those pages for paid or for an email landing pages, front pages. It's also the job of the SEO or the webmaster to prune and control things within robots.txt and the various webmaster tool platforms to make sure that's not being indexed. And what has me kind of thinking about this is this kind of an extension of, you know, previous updates, right?
Well, and you have to understand too that, like, you know, for Google, for us, for any engine to take an action on something, like, there has to be a prevalence. You know, it's not because somebody woke up one day and said, do you remember the concept of doorway pages? We should probably protect the internet from that now. Like, it's not like there's like drunk superheroes cruising around.
I had a nightmare last night about doorway pages.
Yeah. Like, where do I apply my superhero? Well, randomly, let's do this. And it's not like that. There's obviously a reason for it, because for any work to be done is a significant cost to a business. Developers, programmers, program managers, marketing people, everyone is involved. We're talking about human beings with salaries and benefits and a hard cost to that business to make that change. They're not doing it because they felt like it. They're doing it because there's an intrinsic value behind it. And that's how all of our investments move forward. Now, I think from a webmaster's standpoint, you bring up something that is incredibly crucial, right? A lot of SEOs have this thinking, and it's this, you know, throw it over the wall thinking, which is my job is to get traffic here. That's my job. Better rankings, more traffic, and off we go. And I've done my job. The conversion stuff, not my thing. That's not up to me. That's up to the product manager or whomever, right? Savvy among the SEO community will take on the conversion work as well and realize that they can be true heroes by taking a step in that direction, learning and applying. But what we tend to have happen is a lot of people will look at it and say, okay, we're producing the content, that's great. But there's gray areas. It's not like it's a black and white photo that you're working with, which is how people tend to look at it, right? There are 256 shades of gray. And so you can produce a very rich diagram if you use all those shades of gray. And SEOs tend to think in terms of it's black or it's white. We're going to produce the page and publish it, or we're not. And your point is exactly right. There are completely valid reasons to produce pages for any number of reasons. Back up a marketing campaign. It works in social driving scenarios. Whatever the reason is fine. But control that stuff so that the search engines are getting the signals. And the signals, and I mean, we all know this, right? Like,
well, the thing is, Dwayne, I would not send a page that I put together for SEO purposes to my email newsletter.
Right. Exactly.
I would not use that page, an organic page, specifically made for SEO, typical visitors, typical user experience, as part of a PPC campaign.
Right.
I want to make sure that page in PPC or an email speaks directly to that audience and converts.
Yes.
So then why would you want to do the opposite, right? And open up those kinds of pages to the Google index. The one thing that's interesting that you brought up a couple times, and you know, while you were speaking, I realized that I have worked in a little bit in terms of doorway pages, but not what I used to consider a doorway page, which was pretty much a page made to spam a search engine and then send someone over to a transactional page. But more so are the limitations that are sometimes made from a CMS and IT perspective.
Yes.
And how those limitations basically block or minimize the success that organic search or SEOs can implement, especially like if you're in-house, it's one thing, but if you're an agency and you're hired to do an audit and then implement that audit, and part of that relationship is making change and improvements in the rankings. What happens sometimes is, especially if consultants don't do their homework, is that that audit is going to sit on a desk and gather dust for years, right?
Yes.
Because it's not going to get implemented by IT. It can't get implemented by IT. There are other priorities, or maybe marketing does not even converse with IT. So then what happens typically is someone says, hey, well, you know, if we can't do this, can we, do you mind if you CNAME, you know, the subdomain over to another host and we can set something up? Or, you know, if we can't, can you at least give us a subdirectory to work with, and maybe we can throw some content up on there? Or how about if we set up some landing pages via the WordPress blog, right? So what happens is there's this demand and stress sometimes put on internal in-house teams and consultants to get the job done, right? Because if not, it means that you're not going to make your goals or bonuses internally. And it also means that the consultant might be cut, basically because it's viewed that they couldn't do their job correctly.
Exactly.
What's set up then is typically a section of the site, right, that hangs off the rest of the site. And I experienced this in some pretty large, like global insurance companies where you could get nothing through from an IT perspective. And also there's a lot of retailers that still have this on their site because stuff shuts down in October to get ready for the holidays, but you still have the pressure to get something up, right? So you end up changing these pages that are hanging off, or these doorway pages, or optimizing them. I just never considered them doorways. I guess I consider them more so like orphaned SEO pages or the redheaded stepchild of the rest of the website, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things too, I think that's important for folks to keep in mind is this concept of pass-through, right? And I like to think of it in terms of pass-through versus retention. So what's the page's job? And if the page's job is to answer a question, then a search engine wants that in the index because it's a good result to show to a searcher. Somebody comes in, they ask their question, the page ranks well, the user goes to that or the searcher goes to that location, and they're satisfied. Ultimately, that means they're satisfied with the search experience as well, the search engine. So that's really the metric that the engine is going for, is satisfaction of searcher. If, however, that page is designed to simply get you to click through to something else, well then, given we know the totality of the internet, why would we need the extra click between the searcher and the product on the other side? And so if you actually start pulling out those types of pages, then the actual product page surfaces. When the searcher asks for the product, they get the actual product page, one click to what they're looking for, versus this intermediate click where somebody gets to make a dollar. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a dollar, but if we're talking about our job is to satisfy the searcher, adding extra clicks is not a way to drive up satisfaction. It is a way to drive distraction and dissatisfaction. So obviously, we would prefer ranking things that are direct to source.
So if I'm in-house, right, or with some of my clients, instead of getting into, before I get into Chicken Little syndrome, right, where I start running around and everything's going to, you know, fall apart, I see this as more of an opportunity to be able to make that case internally, to be able to open up, if for some reason the in-house SEO only had limited access to releases or limited access to the CMS, or you know, no ability to do things like add canonical tags to a site or take care of duplicate content issues and things like that, I see this as being an incredible opportunity for, especially for enterprises, right? Because that's typically where most of this happens. You know, smaller businesses, hey, log in the WordPress, do a change here, do a change there. It's all good. Hit publish. But, you know, on the enterprise side, where a lot of this does happen because of those restrictions, I would see this as an opportunity, especially if search engines as a whole are focusing more so on not serving these pages in the future because of, it's making the user jump through more hoops to find what they're looking for at the end of the day.
Ultimately, yeah. And this comes back to that shades of gray conversation, right?
Where you lost me at shades of gray.
You know, I'll fill in the blank for you, right? The reality here is that a lot of times the SEO world ends up being black or white, right? It's publish, don't publish, publish with this type of content versus that type of content. Marketing wants one thing, email wants another thing, you know, PPC demands something else. And it puts an SEO in a situation of having a lot of yes, no conversations and then losing. And these things are still out there.
Right.
But what the SEO still can control and guide the organization on is the subtleties, the shades of gray on, look, well, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead and publish the page, but we'll block it in robot.txt, or we'll put something in a meta tag that blocks this from being crawled.
Yep.
We all know that you know, Googlebot will just crawl it anyhow. That's not going to stop it. It's about signaling intent. And so if you tell the robot, look, our intent is that you don't index this. Okay, well then you've given all the signal you can that this is not a page that should be surfaced in front of searchers.
Right.
And you know, Bingbot has the opposite reaction. When you tell it not to crawl, it doesn't crawl, but it's the exact same intent. My intent is that this is not in the index and shown to searchers. Okay. The semantics on whether something gets crawled or not is beside the point here. The point is, you're specifically saying, you know what, my PPC landing page over here, the page that's designed specifically for my email program, which I am mystified at how you found it to begin with, but you found it. No, it shouldn't be in the index. You shouldn't be looking at that. And therefore, you should be looking at my domain as a more thoughtful domain all up, because I am carefully monitoring what I think you should be indexing versus what I know you should be indexing. And I'm giving you those signals. You know, the algorithms respond to those things, and that makes a difference over time.
It's saying that there is no mal intent. There is no bad intention with setting this up. Now, if people link to it from the Google perspective, even if it is blocked in robots.txt, people do link to it, it will rank, right, with that little message sometimes and things like that. But the message, and there are options within Google Webmaster Tools where you can try to take that out and everything else or block parameters. But the message to Google is that, hey, we are not setting this up to trick you or to trick users that are searching you to find this information, right?
Exactly. It's in the similar vein of the disavow tools, right? I mean, the whole point behind the disavow tools is to give the webmaster the control to say what their intention is. And if, you know, in some cases, there's always going to be the people who have good intentions who ended up with links pointed at them, but have no idea that the tool exists. They don't know what to do with it, right? So we still have to make determinations on those things. But the fact of the matter is, if you're an active webmaster and you believe that you have a problem and you're watching on these things, there is a facility to tell us that your intention is that those paid links, that those crap links that are pointed at you, those are not things that you would otherwise choose to go and solicit on your own. Right. Of course, all of this falls under the umbrella that you really can't choose who links to you. Like that's just not possible. But this helps the engine understand the intent. And over time, that intent starts to matter, because the person who's faking it will give up on faking it and then try to game the system because that's their intention. The person who's actually thoughtful about it, is a true SEO, is doing true work, works for a legitimate company and is doing the right things, is going to look at that and say, great, this is a good safety net and I should send out those signals. And that's the true value of SEO today, is understanding how to help a company balance its portfolio of assets on the web so that the right things are being given to a search engine and the things used for other purposes are actually at least giving off signals that say, don't bother with me. I'm not part of the search equation. I exist on the web for another purpose.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too. It's because I can't help, while we have this conversation, to think in the back of my head over at Foundation, when Bozer and I are talking to leads or possible new clients or things like that, we really, really try to get as much information from them as possible. What can be done? What can't be done? How does your IT team work? What are the internal lines of communications? Yep. Can we do an onboarding beforehand? You know, can we get this questionnaire filled out? Everything else. So we're not put in a position to fail, basically, right?
Exactly.
And then also, like, you know, if you know, a lot of my friends are in-house. They and some of them work in have great opportunities where what they say happens. The code on the site is clean. Everything is working, functional. There are no hiccups. There's no duplicate content. And those priorities are, I mean, I don't want to say respected by IT, but there's a mutual respect between not just IT, but also, like you brought it up before, social, email, analytics, the CMO, like the company is working together.
There's true integration.
Right. And then there
does happen everywhere.
Yeah. And there are situations where that's not a fact, where I get texts in the middle of the night. Hey, do you know anybody who's hiring? you know, yada, yada, yada. And, but yeah, I mean, it is pretty interesting. And I kind of see this as, like, you know, if there is a straw that can break some camel's backs in terms of the quality of life in that SEO position and the ability to be that well-rounded, good-hearted SEO that you're discussing, then, you know, this could be one of them. So if I have a website and, you know, I added on doorway page band-aids in the past, along with other band-aids to be able to compete with my competition. And I want to get that cleaned up. And you had touched on disavows and things like that. How does that work on the Bing side of things?
So, you know what? It's really straightforward. And this is advice I give to a lot of businesses, startups, and everyone. It's like, you truly have to understand what your business model is and what you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You need to have a website built that actually will enable that, puts you on the right path toward that success. If you're thinking about, okay, we need to add something. Oh, we hadn't planned for that. Let's just, you know, create a subdomain or put something off over here in a random folder. You need to take another step back and ask yourself, is this the right platform? Are we going in the right direction? You know, so many people try to start businesses with WordPress websites,
right,
only to find out later on that, you know, selling through affiliate links isn't what's going to make money. They want to have actual sales experiences, deeper dives, product pages, and so on. And they're trying to do all of that through a plugin in WordPress as opposed to building out a proper e-commerce platform. And then e-commerce platforms have their challenges with SEO and managing everything. And there's a lot of big pieces there. But it's important to understand exactly what the flow of the business is going to be so that you're on the right path to begin with. Because if you try to go into an e-commerce platform and say, all right, now we're going to add a blog to it. Oh, it has a facility to do that. You know what? That facility to do that is probably not nearly as good as what WordPress can offer you. Exactly. So you have to make the choice then to use the right tool for the job. And this actually falls under this category, this concept of these adding these pages to accomplish very specific things, right? You have to ask yourself, what is the point of the web page I'm on? And if the point of the web page I'm on is to drive traffic to convert for sales, well, then perhaps you actually need conversion work and you need to reorganize the page layouts, the verbiage on them, the positioning of things on your page, the usual conversion optimization work, as opposed to let's put a link in here and direct them off to another page. And hey, you know what? I get it. Sometimes that is the solution you have access to. It's not as easy as going back and re-architecting something. The solution that you need to move forward with today is we are creating a new section. It is going to have all of these pages. You need to get that stuff noted in the robot.txt file that you don't want that crawl. Keep a crawler out of it. Just /folder/ and put it all in there. Make it easy on yourself for maintenance. And forecasting in the future, you may decide to just junk that entire area. No easier way to do that than to put it all in a folder and nuke the folder 5 years from now when you don't need it anymore. So doing those things, very important. If you actually want to, you can go into disavow tools and start taking away those links essentially that are pointed at those pages. Because yeah, you know, like the search engine is kind of like that person walks into a shopping mall and sees a crowd of people standing around a store window. Yeah, we're going to mosey on over. We want to know what the commotion is. Why is that popular? And right, we want to see what it is. And if it's a consistent flow of popularity, well, then, you know, we're probably going to try that in search to see if it resonates with searchers and if it satisfies searchers. And that could be because you blocked a page for a new product that you're offering, hoping that it wouldn't get shown in search results for a week until you were ready. Okay, well, if that's your plan, the only suggestion I have for you is do not put that page into production until you are ready. Wait the week, because there are no secrets on the internet today. And, you know, like you can't just, they're long gone are the days of testing something live on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And then releasing it to be crawled. Like yeah, those days are so far behind us that inadvertently you could be creating these scenarios for yourself. And so now you have to plan actively. Well, how do I protect myself in that case? And it's about emitting the signals.
We also like to call that popping the cork. Right. So yes, when you're setting up a new part of the site or a new page or a new section and you kind of block it from the Google or Bing perspective. Right. And yeah, then you start getting some links to it and yeah, you start marketing it. Right. So you see it kind of crawling up. You see it yep, kind of rising up in the Google rankings. Right. With that yep, a default URL or whatnot as a title in the little robots.txt message in the description. And more people are interested in it. And you see it crawling, climbing. And then when it starts to hit that peak of popularity, that's when we open it up. And yep, we just see that sucker cached and indexed and up in the rankings in a day or less because of all yep, the popular signals going to it. And yep, one thing that you do bring up is, there's not only an issue with the live testing. Like, have you ever been in the scenario where you get someone email you or message you and you'd be like, yeah, we launched our blog 2 weeks ago and it's not ranking yet. And you look at it and you're saying, why isn't this thing ranking? Why isn't this thing ranking? And then, you know, you look at the robots.txt and that's fine. And you look at everything else and that's fine. And you're like, oh. And then you look at the source code and you see the no index, no follow is still in, yep. in the code, right? So it's little things like that that happen. But I do agree. I mean, I was looking at a site the other day, a Volusion site, and by default, there were a lot of duplicate content and wildcard pages that are open to be indexed. And it's just, you know, this was a site that someone, a friend was setting up that was live. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow. So you have a 5-page site that has 150 odd pages. That's interesting, you know? So you're right. There is no live testing and there's no reason to live test. Live test being opening up that section to the search engine, right?
Yeah. I mean, today, I think there's enough tools available. There's enough facilities available to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish before you launch that you can legitimately do it. Like the example you're citing right now, the Volusion site, like I have never run on the Volusion platform, but I can almost guarantee you in the community somewhere, someone has a standardized robot.txt that you could copy and paste to get rid of 90% of those problem pages that they're just crap. You don't want them in there.
Right. It's like WordPress used to be when it came out.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And I still have that facility in WordPress, that ping facility where it'll ping all these services, right?
Yeah.
You know, I still laugh at it, but as a part of my workflow, every single time I set up a WordPress site, I have my original ping list of about, I don't know, it's got to be 40 or 50 different services that I've been using for the last decade. And I just take them and paste them in there and off it goes. It provides probably zero value at this point. Right. However, you know, like if anybody's actually using the other side of that service, why not copy and paste it in there?
Why not?
So I have similar things for my robot.txt files. When I launch a site, like I have standardized things that I put in there specifically to do certain things. Get rid of my admin page, block the login page, like all of those standard things that there's no point in the search engine having it. It doesn't do them any value. And I would like to send the signal that I know that and that you shouldn't have that. Ideally, the engine will filter it out anyhow, right? Like, you know, you go look at my personal blog, you shouldn't be seeing the login page as the second result in there, you know? Like, it just shouldn't be there. That's only for me. It's not for anyone else. Doesn't need to be surfaced. But hey, I do have a responsibility to kind of maintain my own space here.
Yep.
And I think this is where SEOs provide a staggering amount of value to businesses today and will continue in the future, is in these details, is in the sculpting of the message that gets sent to the algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer just about, here's an optimized page, it should outrank my competition. It's more about, here's my optimization mindset and how it reflects on my domain. And therefore, that feeds toward authority and trustworthiness and so on. That's the value that SEOs provide today.
Well, the thing is, too, is like, I don't mean for this to be an ad for Rainmaker or Genesis or whatnot, but I was thinking, like, when I had mentioned WordPress when it was right out of the box when it launched compared to now, at least now you have the ability with the Genesis platform and other tools and plugins like the Yoast SEO for WordPress plugin, you have the ability to block the indexing of category pages by Google. You have the capability to, you know, control pagination. You have the capability to make sure that, well, I don't think any of them yet remind you if you forgot to update your About Us page. it still has that same message. That's one of
my favorites is running a search for just another WordPress site and seeing how many pop up.
Yeah. But you know, there is those capabilities now, and with all the landing pages out, the landing page plugins out there, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, what used to be Premise is now part of Rainmaker or some of the other tools, at least now they do give you the capability to block those paid search landing pages from the engine, or even to open some up if they make sense from an organic conversion perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? If it's part of the user journey. So,
yes.
You know, it is a little bit easier, but it is on a platform by platform basis.
I agree. I personally use Genesis for my newer blogs that I'm maintaining, and I love the simplicity of the interaction. Like I'm fine going in and monkeying around in the code, right? But why? I could just copy and paste. It's super simple. But more important to me is that control, is the ability to turn off the things that I don't think you need to be indexing. What I want is you to index the individual page. The category page, absolutely pointless. It's just a list of links. And there's no need for you to have it because you should have my individual links is what you should have.
Well, the worst thing is when you search for something, right? And you find a category page appear in the SERPs. You don't realize it's a category page.
Yep.
And that was cached a week ago, right? Yep. So you're doing like a control find on the page when you get there.
Yeah.
Where is this? It's not part of it anymore, right?
And I part of the equation here that folks need to really kind of keep in their mind too, right, is this the context of recency, the expectation of the searcher to be looking for things that are current. Mm-hmm. For answering their questions, essentially. That's kind of like a default state in the human mind.
Right.
You know, like I'm not asking you, I'm old enough. When I ask you about tying knots, I'm not asking you about how to tie my shoes. Now, like it's a different scenario, right? And so I want things that are more current. And in fact, I welcome responses back to queries like that, that are things like, why tie your shoes? Here are five shoes that are slip-on. And because, you know what, this is a fashion statement and I like the look of this. And yeah, why am I tying my shoes?
And whatever. Adults can wear Velcro, right?
Exactly. You know,
I'm not going to judge.
Exactly. And so the ability to control what's being exposed, I think the challenge that we have today is that people don't understand it necessarily. So they don't do it. And those are the nuances that folks need to really understand. If you're going to hop onto a platform, whatever it is, you need to understand the facilities that it offers and what each one of those buttons and options do for you. You know, they're in there because they fulfill a specific need. And so you have to determine whether you have that specific need or not. You know, if you've been doing this for any length of time, you have a default. It's muscle memory for you. It's the, you know, I automatically do this. I do all my settings and then off you go. But for folks that are newer, and this is where ultimately, as we originally started, these concepts tend to perpetuate over time is, you know, you find something that's 3-4 years old. It's from a trusted source. It sounds legitimate. It got lots of good positive commentary in the comments section. And you think, awesome, good resource, bookmark, and I'm going to learn from that. That's fine. Take the extra step, ping the resource and say, is this thinking still current? Should I still do it this way? Are you still doing it this way? Because I can tell you right now, when I first learned how to do link building, I called up this guy named Eric Ward. If folks don't know who Eric is, Eric was the guy, he's seen as the godfather of link building.
Moses, because, right?
Yeah, exactly. Link Moses. So Eric was the guy who essentially kickstarted the concept of link building for Amazon when they were getting started. And huge, huge resource in terms of digital marketing and understanding these things. But Eric very clearly described to me a process for being able to solicit links from a business. And it was very old school. You know, you track down the person, you send them a note, you ask them permission to engage. Like, you were very polite about it, very nice and respectful. And I found that to be an incredibly useful way to talk to other webmasters and actually exchange complimentary links or suggest myself in their systems and whatnot. You know, today, people come and they talk to me about link building and I'm like, you're already thinking the wrong way. Like, you're already in the wrong direction. It's not about link building. The links will come to you. The question is, what are you doing to deserve them? And so you need to put all of your time and effort into answering the question, why do I deserve to be linked to? Not now that I've built something, trust me, it's wonderful. People should point links at it. No. It doesn't, you know, we're way past the if you build it, they will come stage.
I tell the story a lot, and it's kind of like one of those old man SEO stories. But basically, when I got started, my first job, I was an intern in college, 1998. And I was working on a check printing company. Remember checks, like personal checks?
I remember them well, yes.
Yeah, you probably went right at least one a year now. But they used to be a big deal. And people loved personalization with their checks because when you went to the supermarket, you would write a check. When you went somewhere else, you would write a check. So there were wrestling checks. There were auto racing checks. There were teddy bear checks. There were model train checks. So my job was not to build links for that company, but to do their on-site SEO and advertise or market that company. So part of that marketing was back in 98, 99, was finding like GeoCity pages, fan pages, similar type sites, and building a relationship with them, sending them an email, and getting to know that person and telling them, hey, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but Yada Yada Check Company has just put out a new line of model train checks. And I would get an email back in about 5 minutes saying, wow, thank you so much. No one ever writes my site. I can't believe you guys are looking at it. I put this link up already. It's in the navigation type thing. And it really is like, that's the same kind of mentality that I use on a scale basis now that still works.
In some instances, it is it's still a very valid approach. Like so many things that are just good quality marketing are still good quality marketing. Mm-hmm. No question about it.
Yep.
However, you got to think a little more about the long-term repercussions of it and the downstream effects of what you're doing. Because you know, you reach out and you establish a relationship with somebody, that's fantastic. If they're so excited that they're constantly dropping links to you and they're constantly referencing you, like it could be as innocuous as you now have a personal stalker that you have to deal with.
It's true.
Right? Because this person's grateful and they appreciate the engagement. It could be as complex as the person that you're talking with actually has a network of websites and decides that you're a good enough resource that they're going to
drop a link on the sidebar of each one, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and suddenly it's like, whoa, wait, hang on a second now. I reached out to do you a solid and to say something nice about you and to cement a business relationship. Now I've got to go to a link disavow tool and say, look, I like you, but I don't love you.
Right.
And you know, that
like, it's, or next thing you know, they're getting an email saying, please take down this link immediately and being followed up on a daily basis. And they have no idea why.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
So, and
you just have to be careful with those, with some of these tactics. You have to understand the reality of what the downstream looks like from them. And again, the value of good SEOs.
Yep.
I mean, they get these things. They understand the ripple effect. Like, you know, they intrinsically know that when you release something, here's what's likely to happen. And they're ready with the answers. They're ready with the direction when things start to go slightly off track.
Well, great. Maybe we can do a follow-up episode, Dwayne, about linking. And bring yourself on and maybe some others. But hey, we're almost out of time. Thanks again, Dwayne Forrester from Microsoft Bing. Love you guys. Yeah. One thing I was going to mention to you was that Microsoft has a store in the Century City Mall here in LA.
Yes.
And about 6 months ago when I walked past the store, there weren't too many people in there compared to Apple. Now it's full of kids. You know why?
Yeah.
It's the Xbox and Minecraft store now.
Yep.
Right? It's exactly. Amazing. It's amazing. So
exactly. I'll tell you. I have Minecraft on my phone, and I am addicted to it. It brings out the architect in me.
Yeah, exactly.
And can't
maybe,
help it.
Maybe my five-year-old will become an architect one day. He's not playing yet, but he's watching all the videos on YouTube of people playing. So it's incredible.
I love this, right? This whole, there's the like ecosystems get built out behind things to answer questions and engage people. And our industry is like that. It's always so exciting to watch.
It's great. So thanks again, Dwayne Forrester here on Search and Deploy. We'll be doing a follow-up blog post on this. Really enjoyed talking to you and a lot of the tips you had on basically what doorway pages may be and how to, in the grand scheme of things, making sure you're not over-polluting the search engines with pages on your site that are not intended to be indexed. So we'll be following up with that. And thanks again. I really appreciate it, Dwayne.
Cool. Thanks for your time, Lauren.
Okay. Have a good one, buddy.
You too.